the Ozark back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking, to help brighten up your day. Another rainy Saturday, Mae. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fred. Ooh, hoo, hoo. Honestly, in a kind of a chilly rain. Good morning, friends. And how are you? The days are getting cold and winter is hinting at us, isn't it? It's a pretty strong hint this morning. Oh, I always dread winter. I've told you that many times before. I always think of the people who are even poorer than I am, and whether they have food and wood and coal and gas to burn, and whether the little children have warm clothing and food and, yes, milk to drink. Oh, I don't know why. I just worry about those things in winter. Milk is so good for children, and I wish I had the money to buy about 100 gallons a day and have it distributed among our little children. The school children in Springfield get a certain amount of milk each day, and that's a wonderful thing. Milk is nature's food. The best, perhaps the first and the best food on earth. Well, as summers come and go, the springs blossom again, and the winters bring their chilly winds. The late Roy Martin of Springfield, our postman poet, used to write some lovely lines. I remember a little verse of his. He said, "They come and go, the fitful, fleeting years, in time's long, swift, and endless race. Still in the dim receding view, my mind sees many a long gone face. The guarded hoarded wealth of all the Indies weighed with my memories is far less real. These are the things which moth and rust cannot corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal." Yes, so they can't take away your pictures, your memories. And so the old-time things come to me so often when I start to gather together some thoughts for my day. The very precious old things. A little poem I picked up somewhere around the place yesterday. You know, sometimes there's more said in a little poem than there is in all the great poems of the masters. This one said, "Two worn little shoes with a hole in the toe. And why have I saved them? Well, all mothers know. There's nothing so sweet as a baby's worn shoe and patter of little feet following you. The feet they once held have grown slender and strong. They'll be tired home from school after walking so long. I guided her feet when she wore such as these. Dear God, may I ask, won't you guide them now, please?" A woman sent me a little clipping last week, and to save me, I can't remember who it was. I get letters lost from clippings and the names and everything else. Wish women would write their name oftener on things, on the clippings and on their envelope, and put their names oftener. I have a very small office, and sometimes it gets topsy-turvy. The clipping told about how the kids were always begging to go barefooted in the spring before the warm days come. Well, do I remember how we used to torment my mother to go barefoot. We could just hardly wait. And it said this was the rule, and I remember it. If the name of the month had an R in it, we still had to wear our shoes. But during months with no R, we could go barefoot. And that's right, you know. There's just May, June, July, August. 4 months. And then we put on shoes in September because we went to school. That's exactly the way it was in those days. The months with an R in them, we couldn't go barefoot. Among my poetry gems this morning, I have a poem by our Ozarkian poet Carl B. Icke of Deepwater, Missouri, whom I often quote, who has written, perhaps aside from Rosa Marinoni at Fayetteville, more poems than any living Ozarkian, a most prolific writer. He enjoys writing them and spins poetry out on the least provocation like a spider spins a web. That's the way the great Robert Burns wrote poetry. They say he composed it, sat down, and wrote it as fast as he could write, and never put a pen to it to change it afterward. And what a Scotch singer he was, there among his banks and braes of Bonny Doon. Carl's poem is about the old things and fits into this morning. It's about memory's parlor, the old parlors we had, you know. It was just a plain old parlor with a davenport, some chairs, and a table in the center, and a sort of rustic stairs. Yet within that sacred setting where I've spent full many a day was a real old-fashioned organ which my mother used to play. There was peace and joy and comfort blended with a blessing rare. For at evening in that parlor, Dad would lead us in a prayer. We didn't have commotion filled with bluster or TV, but a depth of understanding that was wonderful to see. And with all a lot of pleasure, very seldom shared alone, for the neighbors came to visit and to hear the graphophone. We had the latest papers and good books and games and toys, which seemed just the proper setting for raising girls and boys. Oh, I know that babysitting is quite popular today, where the parents leave the children when they go someplace to play. But right now my heart is flooded with the blessings which I've had as I see again that parlor and my mother with my dad. That's good. Yes, a parlor, as they always called it in the old days, was a great thing. We had one. Many of you did who are listening to me. There was always a center table with a big plush family photograph album on it. When you got that album, you didn't need diamonds or a yacht or that pink Cadillac I've been telling you about, or in fact anything else. When you had that fine plush album and a stereopticon thing, you know, whatever they called it, to hold up to your eyes and look at the pictures of the Grand Canyon and the things you never saw or never would see, you were fixed for life. And that parlor had a carpet, of course, an old-time ingrain carpet or a Brussels or a home-woven rag carpet more often, but very lovely. They always pulled the curtains down in the daytime to keep from fading the carpet. Some folks never went into that parlor only when extra special company came. It looked like the chapel of an undertaking establishment. The children were seldom allowed in it. It had pictures on the walls, of course. And then if you were really especially somebody, you had an enlarged picture of some of your ancestors on an easel. Do you remember the easel? Ah, that was the thing. And tidies on the back of the chairs, and also draped over the picture on the easel, and over the corners of pictures in general. And then the parlor had a sofa. They didn't call it a davenette. Carl, you didn't have a davenette in that parlor. You had a sofa. You could spark your best beau in the parlor, provided he was an ice beau. I wonder where the old-time parlor went. I remember hearing about an old woman who built a fine new house, and then she lived in the barn to save the house. And that's really about the way they did with the parlors in the olden days. And you had an organ, yes, usually a Chicago cottage organ. The agents came through the country selling them by the score. And then you were really somebody when you got that organ. Life had nothing better. We had a square piano in our old parlor. Mrs. Gladys Atkinson Kenfield of Conway, Missouri, writes a little verse that'll fit in here today about an old tintype. I have a battered old tintype of mother when she was three. The very essence of sweetness is portrayed there for me. With big brown eyes and dimpled cheeks, her hair in ringlets curled in old-fashioned broadcloth, pleated frock is this little old-fashioned girl. She holds an old-fashioned watch and chain in her dear little dimpled hands, gazing up in wonderment and awe, perhaps at the cameraman. This picture I shall always love, for it means so much to me. Just a precious old battered tintype of mother when she was three. Yes, Gladys, I have a lovely one too. I want to say hello to the Berry Tour people I talked with and dined with and last Saturday night at the Kentwood Arms. Told you I'd say hello to you. some of the loveliest people in that bunch. All of them were lovely, in fact. And I want to say, come back. Be sure and come back. Come back and live with us. And God bless you, and I send my love to you as you're in your big bus returning home this morning. Hope it isn't raining on you. Do you remember that about 2 months ago, here is something old now, believe me. Do you remember that about 2 months ago I told you about an excitement in Asia when they found pieces of wooden plank buried deep on Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey in 1955? Preserved there, you know, because it's constant ice. Well, there is another excitement about that dig up. A team of American archaeologists have continued this search and have found huge pieces of wood, apparently of a giant boat 14,000 feet up on the slopes of Mount Ararat, just where the Bible records that Noah's Ark came to a stop. The wood has been sent to a San Francisco, it's a place, you know, where they do these things, research, and is hoped within 3 months to establish the age of the wood. George Vandeman, chairman of this research foundation, says that in 1955, this huge piece of wood, 7 feet long, was found in an ice pack in exactly the same area as these later pieces of wood that they've found now. It was estimated to date from around 2,500 years before Christ. Major Sehap Atalay, a Turkish major, found this first piece of wood. In San Francisco, they're going into it deeply, and inside of 3 years, they think that they may find most of the remains of the Ark. Believe me. The wood has been frozen all the years and kept well, considering the centuries that have passed. From the size of the pieces found, the lumber came from a boat about two-thirds the size of the British Cunard liner Queen Mary. The Queen Mary is 1,019 feet long and 118 feet wide. The Turkish Major Atalay led an American investigation company to the spot where he found the wood in 55. The team is taking samples of soil and studying the volcanic dust and weather conditions and so on. If that isn't Noah's Ark, how did huge slabs of lumber get 14,000 feet up a mountain? And who got the lumber up there? And how and why? It's finished mill lumber, very similar to ours, but apparently all done by hand. Wonderful things we may yet live to see. Well, my time is up. I thank you all for your letters, and do write to me again, and don't fail to send me stamps, and thank you for the stamps I got this morning. Goodbye. I'll be seeing you next Saturday. The Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.